Blog Talk Radio.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, dear Nigga down here,
brothers and packs done, plus everybody's high, too doped up to ask why. Watching our own downfall, witness the end. It's like we don't believe in God, cause we living in sin. I asked my homie on the block why he strapped, he laughed, pointed his pistol at the cop car, passed the blast. It's just another murder, nobody mourns no more. My teardrops getting bigger, but can't figure what I'm crying for. Is it the miniature caskets, little babies, victims of a straight from drug dealers gone crazy? Maybe it's just the drugs, business of how the block was. Crack came and it was strange how it rocked. Perhaps the underlying facts they hide explain genocide. It's when we ride on our own kind. What is it we all fear? Reflections in the mirror. We can't escape fate. The end is getting nearer. Who do you believe in? I put my faith in God, blessed and still breathing. And even though it's hard, that's who I believe in. Before I'm leaving, the mask and the grieving. Who do you believe in? Who do you believe in? I put my faith in God, blessed and still breathing. And even though it's hard, that's who I believe in. Before I'm leaving, the mask and the grieving.
And we are on. That's that boy B.O.B. That song right there is called Blank Mafia. That's off of his mixtape called Water. He got what water, and then he hit you with fire. Boy, Cotton Thinking, that's Dangerous Thinking. I like that song, man. That stuff right there gets you hype. Oh, Dangerous Thinking. Woo, it's always dangerous when you think, though. Oh, guess what day it is? It's Thursday, y'all. Oh, I am coming off of one of the best shows probably so far. I uncovered a lot. You know, a lot of people said that was a heavy show to kind of like, you know, digest and, you know, information I put out, Bohemian Grove, what the Queen of England has going on with her, sex trafficking, child ring, Jimmy Salvey, Larry King, Lawrence Larry King, a lot of things I covered. And I hope, you know, people took notes. I hope people took a ton of notes. Because that's the thing, like I was saying, we have to get to a point where we really have an open dialogue of strong substance. You know, it's all well and good to, you know, talk good stuff, but we have to get down to the nitty-gritty. We have to get down to the meat of who doing things. As a great teacher once said, Brother Steve Coakley, if you're not familiar with Steve Coakley, you should be. I mean, this is one of the, if you understand Francis Cress Welsing, if you understand a lot of the people in the, that paved the way, some that are here and some that aren't here, what would truth be without Steve Coakley? So if you haven't made friends with that brother in his videos, the late, great Steve Coakley, he puts it home, and he really paints pictures that is like an artist. It's a beautiful picture that nobody really can deny. So that's something to stroll. Always in the mood to say this, thank you. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the messages. Thank you for sharing my videos, sharing my information, sharing my show, just everything that you helped me to do to get the message out. Because, you know, it's dangerous thinking, like this song say. You know, when you get to the level of putting things out against this corrupt, dirty government, if we're not familiar with the NDAA, that's the National Defense Authorization Act, you flirt with that law each and every day. You know, and that's where they can say, hey, you put this out, so that makes you a terrorist. You said this about Barack Obama, so, you know, you're kind of a terrorist. This makes you a terrorist. So you have to be definitely careful. The NDA, we'll cover that much more in upcoming shows. We're going to get into a lot of stuff. I got a good show coming up, but, you know, how I like to do, I like to set the table. To the Most High, to the Creator, to God, to Allah, to Jehovah, whoever your choice, your ever choice of what you refer to him or her, because nobody really knows. We shout out because so many days we complain. You know, have you ever been had those days when things wouldn't go right? You know, and how many times do we just come and just say, you know, thank you. You know, it could have been worse. You know, I could be bedridden today. You know, but the fact that I'm able to move my limbs, the fact that I'm able to think on my own, the fact that I'm able to feed myself, it's a small, minute thing that we should learn to be thankful for. You know, because actually, as I begin to also Operation Warm the People, it's still in effect. Now, if you're familiar and you donated to my around Christmas time, or so-called Christmas, but we'll flow with that. Was where I, you know, took up donations and I fed the homeless people of Atlanta. And that is so surreal right there when you are in that kind of atmosphere and you see it's not even the, because we realize the homeless are dopes. We realize that every day. But when you get to the fact that you're seeing homeless children, you know, as you know, at you know, young ages, home children, that's what really kind of touches your heart. So before you really think about complaining because, you know, you don't have enough in your saving accounts, you don't have enough in your checking account, or, you know, you don't have the shirt that you want, or you don't have the pair of shoes, or you didn't get the meal that you want, I always think like this, somebody in a worse situation. And we know, say, hey, well, what that got to do with me, you know, it's people everywhere, you know. You know, what make my day because you are blessed. You know, this was, at one time, this was pretty much a very cold winter. So just think about the people. Now, the thing that, when I was able to operate and go down there and kick it with our allies, shout out to Anonymous, when I was able to go to D.C., this is what I learned, you know, just going state to state. Homelessness is everywhere. No matter if you're in Florida, no matter if you're in VA, no matter if you're in Tennessee, no matter if you're in New York, there are homeless people everywhere. This is an epidemic worldwide. So just think of the fact that somebody under a bridge right now, don't care what city you're in, you don't have to be in ACL. Somebody in some city somewhere doesn't have a place to stay. Somebody in some city somewhere doesn't have a place to eat, don't have something to eat. Don't have shoes to put on their feet. So we definitely like to say, you know, thank you. You know, and don't never be too macho or don't never be too cool, ladies or brothers, to pray. You know, because prayer is, I always like to say, tell my friends and my people, prayer is like a lifeline. You know, you can't have a fully functional relationship without prayer. What's your prayer life like? So, you know, I just want to take time just to say thank you. You know, thank you for, you know, the Most High, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to have people to listen to me. And just say, you know, shout out to that brother Terry. You know, he puts it in there. He tries to tell the people enough truth. So I'm thankful each and every day. Do every day go the way I want? Heck no. You know, I had visions of, you know, before I woke up, I had visions of a cave. You know, everybody, when I was in my secret days, you couldn't tell me I couldn't have Beyonce. But then I had to find out she was a satanic whore. So it ruined that whole thing. But, you know, we have to step out of that dreamland and we have to step into reality. You know, prayer is good, but when we get done praying and we get up off those knees, it's time to battle. So don't never be so much of a revolutionary that you can't pray. Don't be so much of a religious, spiritual person that you forget the revolution. They coincide. They go hand in hand. So, you know, I just wanted to spend that, you know, because if we can't spend 5 minutes talking about the Most High, the Creator, you know, the being that gave each and every one of us our purpose. You know, remember when we had that show, and we're going to revisit a lot of those shows. What's your destiny? What's the purpose? How was you? Why were you put on this earth? You know, what are you called to do? How many of us really follow a calling? You know, so with that being said, I also want to shout out to my comrades over at the Council of Justice, each and every one. No need to say their names each and every week, but each and every person in their respective position and places. Also, like I said, I mentioned my Operation Warm the People. I am also, inbox me on Facebook at Antero, A-N-T-E-R-I-E-O, Riggins, R-I-G as in go, G as in go, I-N-S. Inbox me and say, hey, can I, on Facebook, and say, hey, how can I help you? You know, I spoke about the Flint, Michigan situation. No, people are still in dire need. So, you know, all of us that say Black Lives Matter, all of us that want to help build a black community, let's help a city that's in trouble. Because as I said last show, what's going to happen when we are that city and we are saying, help us, you know, help us, give us a helping hand. So definitely inbox me with more information. Even if you just want to, if you are in the ATL area and you say, hey, I bought 10 gallons of water, where can I drop it off? You know, you don't have to give money if you don't feel comfortable. You know, because each and every person that I've seen me do the Operation Warm the People, the Feed the Homeless, the Back to School, you see where your money's going. So definitely Operation Warm the People is still in effect within, should be within the next week or two. I will get to you with more details, but I will be taking blankets. I will be taking canned goods, you know, whatever we can give, you know, socks, T-shirt, care packages, whatever we can for the people. Let's get it together because we have to take care of ourselves. We have to take care of our people because if you remember the article that I was speaking on last show, talking about Flint, Michigan, they are trying to make the people pay for dirty, poisonous, toxic water. And then if they pay, here's the double-edged sword that the government sticks you with. And then if they pay, it's going to be child endangerment because of the type of water. So there is no hope in a way. So we definitely have to pull together. Whether it's you didn't do nothing but buy a gallon of water. It don't take much. It doesn't take much. It only takes an effort. So I want to say, you know, just put that out there. Shout out to the Dreamy Pisces, my Dreamy Pisces, Dreamy Pisces. Please go over to her Instagram page. That's Dreamy Pisces 80. Any jewelry, custom made, anything. Like I said last show, the girl good. So tell her Antario sent you, and maybe I can get a free bracelet, free necklace. But how we gonna pay and you get free stuff? See, that's that type of thinking already. I love you guys. I love doing this show. I love doing what I do. It's not always fun, but some days it kicks me. But I just love doing it, you know, just to hear the people's feedback, just to hear the dialogue that we're able to have on various topics. And we talk about all kinds of things on this show. And shout out to my boy Tim that paid me a great compliment last show. He said, there's a lot of good shows, none greater than this, if I must say, none greater than this. So, you know, when I hear stuff like that, to the fact that my show is great, you know, I know that. But when somebody else tells you, it makes it worthwhile. And they say, hey, get up and tell more truth. You know, keep it coming. You know, some days I'd be like, nobody's listening. You know, nobody's feeling what I'm saying. And then you get stuff like that. Or I get an inbox message to say, you know, what you said on that show was cool. You know, I like what you said. So those are the rewards to me because it's very few, you know. And with that National Defense Authorization Act, I flirt with a lot of things. But it has to keep going. News and notes. The biggest pastor in the land, Creflo Dollar, his boy's in the news again. Now, okay, he determined to top Jesus. He's gonna do it before he dies. Now, we understand this brother who wanted his congregation to donate him a $60 million plane. And he had the audacity to get up and say, well, maybe the God that I serve, maybe you serve a small God. What makes you think I can't ask for a $60 million jet knowing that God won't deliver? Okay, you want God to deliver, but you want me to pay for it, pastor. But now you won't believe what this jigaboo is up to now. So he determined to get something established. And for all my ATLians, you know, he's in the old National God the Road area. Now, that was one of my stomping grounds. I tell you, when I say it's a cesspool, it is a cesspool. So, I'm going to get to it. It's funny to me because, I mean, pimping is a hard game, but somebody got to do it, huh, Creflo? But, now check this out. Donzella James is a state senator who wants to give Reverend Creflo Dollar, Creflo Dollar, the preacher that won a jet and a luxury automobile, and want to give him a highway in honor of his name in South Fulton County. So that's more so like Old National. So they want to name it Creflo Dollar Highway. And the thing of it is, she said, you know, when she went to his church, it was just experience, and she feels like he should be paid in honor. So a street in your name, first of all, and this is where they say, well, don't you talk about my pastor, but I was a person that was there with my own eyes on this street. This street looks nothing like, you know, a godly man with millions of dollars would. You know, if you think a person of that caliber and have that type of money and want a $60 million jet, You know, there are potholes, there are ran-down restaurants, there are people hungry. You know, so maybe you want to clean up that old National Highway before you get it changed into Crep Yo Dollar Highway. I found that very strange and amusing that, you know, they want to give him a street or a section of that in his name. Also something I found very funny, butt chugging. Now, this is where the kids are going too far. I wouldn't even know who to blame for this. Butt chugging. And so it says, butt chugging. Now, check this out, y'all. One who consumes alcohol through his or her anus using different methods, an alcohol enema, or even an alcohol-soaked tampon. Now, what you say, Dr. Ms. Folks? And I got to laugh at this one. Butt chugging is what they call it. And I'm going to read this one more again. And they say, I'm going to read this one more time. It's one who consumes alcohol through his or her anus using different methods. An alcoholic enema, even alcoholic soaked tampon. Alcohol absorbed through your bloodstream faster through your rectum than through your mouth. This is usually for those who hate the taste of alcohol or hate the way their breath smells after chugging. So, let's get this straight, people. This is what we got to do better as a people. And this is everybody. I'm not just talking black people. I'm not just, we got to do better as a whole. Butt chugging. Now, first of all, questions I want to ask, because I'm a person that asks deep questions. Now, what were you doing when you realized you could butt chug? This is about the questions, people. We got enough answers. Let's start asking some questions. How did you stumble upon butt chugging? What? I mean, it's like some of those kind of things that just hard to wrap your head around. Butt chugging. I mean, I had to bring that to news and notes. There was a lot of more serious news and notes. I think we covered a ton of serious stuff in that last show. I mean, tell me how you feel. I mean, that made me laugh. I mean, when I heard that, when I read that article, I said, you know, they literally think of everything. So, I mean, but the whole butt chugging, it takes the cake. And it's even funny just saying butt chugging. But some of us go, oh, I mean, we got to do better, people. Creplo was a highway. People putting alcohol up their anus. What is going on in the world? They are doing some real things. They are serious. Things are happening. But definitely we got to keep people uplifted in our prayers, because something is happening to our people. But definitely news and notes. If you have anything that you want to mention and news and notes, you know, here's the, you know, this is the platform. But I felt like let's do it on a lighter note, because I kind of shook some people's foundation with that last show. But I'm going to come back with my topic. I'm going to take a short intermission, and I'm going to give you a nice little track to listen to. Just hang on 1 second, and I shall return. But, there's so much thing. But I'll be back.
Maybe one day I walk outside, there ain't no ghetto. I hope that one day I walk outside, ain't no ghetto. There'll be no bloodshed or trouble on the street, no ghetto. No ghetto. There will be no ghetto. There will be no ghetto. Oh, no more ghetto. There will be no ghetto. Oh, no more ghetto. Maybe one day you'll look at me, you will see no ghetto. No, no. Now when you hear this, don't listen wrong. I dearly love my people. So many great men we'll never see if we do not lose this mentality. Till there ain't no ghetto. Till there ain't no ghetto. Till there ain't no ghetto.
But, you have to think of how we began to abuse each other. Okay. So let's paint this picture. We are artists on this show. Think of the woman. Think of the black woman. Think of the black man. Now, we're not, as my boy always said, you know, stereotype. No, we have to paint for what we can identify with. Think of the black man. Think of the black woman. Take ourselves back in that time. Picture being a black woman. Picture being a black man. Picture being a black couple. And you have this slave driver, this slave master. Really has double standards. This is why I hate, and I say we have to get rid of double standards, because as we speak about white supremacy, we don't understand when we uphold double standards as male and female, you are upholding white supremacy, because what was the thing back then? They could beat the black off you, but you couldn't even breathe on them hard. You couldn't even bump up against them, or you was lynched, killed, beat, and put the fear of God in. So that's why I always say that's one of my theories of why we should get rid of the double standard. But just a picture being this, and the slave master comes in. He wants to have his way with your woman. And he does. Because he knew, you knew if you fought back, what would be the alternative? What would be the repercussion? So, and this is just my theory. Tell me how you feel about this. That was the start of the mental abuse of our people. What you mean? We'll elaborate more. The fact of the man wasn't able to protect his woman. So, my opinion is, in Terry speak, that put a sense of anger in the man. But instead of taking it out on that slave master, Who did he take it out on? Learned to take it out on the woman. Also, how they drove the hate. The woman, you know, feeling that she didn't have somebody to protect her. Felt some type of resentment. Felt some type of anger. Take it out on man. See, slavery and white supremacy has, you know, contaminated us from the start. But what they learned to do, and why I shout out to my boy for saying Willie Lynch, because Willie Lynch taught them to enslave themselves. So the fact that, you know, when we have relationships, what do we, first of all, we're going to ask a lot of questions. And if you want to fill anything in, like I said, you know this is your platform. You know this is, you know, the space to do it. When you think of relationship, the first thing you think of, how buff the brother is, you know, how much money the brother has, you know, what kind of car he drives, you know, how big her butt is, you know, how good her sex is, you know, never really thinking. And as black people, did we learn how to love? These are questions that we have to legitimately ask ourselves. Did we learn how to love? Were we taught as brothers how to love a woman? Well, we taught how to even instill in our kids how to love. Okay, so how the curse keeps going, how everything keeps going, because Willie Lynch says, make them not trust one another. Now, what's the first thing we say? Because this is what I say, we have to be careful what we take into our spirit. All this old foolish music we listen to, you know, these are things of, these hoes ain't loyal. I mean, and as I always say with me and my boy Eddie B is rapping, I say, Snoop Dogg didn't know. He unconsciously killed love. Because what did he utter? We don't love them hoes. So, as we fast forward to years, we learned to do the slave master work ourselves. We learned to disrespect the black man. We learned to disrespect the black woman. We learned to disrespect ourselves, because some women and men don't even want respect. You come up on a woman talking about a queen and look at how she looks at you like you're lame. Why do we abuse ourselves? You know, more importantly, what makes us stay in these type of, you know, relationships? Do we ever think of spiritually? I mean, because, you know, we tap on religion a lot on this show, and it's not to disrespect. But the table that we like to set is, say, you know, for the Christian, you know, we can talk to the Muslims, we can talk to everybody, but to, in my opinion, I could be wrong, Christianity is such a strong hold on the people until the fact of when they told you Jesus died for your sins, it gave you somebody else to put all the blame on. Say, hey, I'm blameless, you know, Jesus already paid, by his stripes I'm healed. What did that even mean? You know, it took out of our hands accountability. So that's a lot of things that's missing in a relationship nowadays, accountability. Because before you can look in and say, hey, maybe I tripped out. You know, maybe I didn't have to talk to her like that. You know, maybe I didn't have to talk to him like that. Well, he deserved it. Or when we, let's even get on cheek. Because that's something that has wiped us out as a people over and over again. Because just think, and I'm gonna open up, but you know how what I say? I set the table. Okay, in order of not being in a monogamous relationship, faithful, however you want to word it. We felt like that was lame. You know, and we have all these ideologies of we want to be treated like a king. We want to be treated like a queen. But do we hold ourselves in king and queen fashion? Or do we hold ourselves in nigger and bitches fashion? Oh, that's my, you know, and this is where we, and before we come up as a people, we got to drop this stuff. Because the double standard, once again, of what we do, oh, that's my nigger right there. Oh, he a real nigger. But it's so that a white person, because they are controlling you through their variation, through their version of mind control. Anytime you even hear Nick come out, anybody that's remotely white, that your willingness chip is activated and you are in attack mode, control. So that's just like I said, once again, the double standard of Black Lives Matter. Let's take to the street. Black Lives Matter. But we in them hoods, and we seen verse 48. Let's not act like we don't know what's up. How much black on black. And there's white on white crime, but once again, we're talking about our people. Because we are helping the slave masters take our people away. So we recognize this white on white crime. But the double standard that we have learned to uphold, like a slave master, is, well, that's just how it is in the street. So many things that have been embedded in us, got to get rid of this stuff. But for the topic, why do people stay in bad relationships? What was some of your experience? Now, with me, because I like, you know, before I woke up to who I was, I would chase. I was a chaser. And I, you know, this is why I like that brother J. Cole in one of his songs called Dreams. Is this the woman of my dreams or something like that? He said, I always had crushes on a girl I couldn't have. And that was the thing. You were always, I would always chase. And that was a form of abuse. You know, I would abuse myself knowing that, you know, it ain't no shame. You know, I have cerebral palsy. So it was the you know, how they would look at me. I mean, and this was, you know, abuse that I did to myself by putting out just chasing, knowing that, you know, they really wouldn't stand me or they really didn't want me, but it was just like, I'm going to have it, a form of abuse. Why? Why did I take myself through that? Because I didn't know myself. I didn't know my capabilities. I didn't know that, you know, I can be loved until I met a very special young lady. You know, and she opened my eyes to a whole different world. But, you know, that was one way that I abused myself. I abused myself through lower level thinking. Oh, I can't do this. oh, that right there. So it's many variations of, you can have a bad relationship with yourself. So it's not just couples. It's so many different ways of having a bad relationship. So I'm gonna take it to the lines and see what the people got to say, see what the people talking about, and we're gonna get to it. Let's see where I want to go. Oh well, can I go? Carla, you are on the line.
Well, what's going on there, Ontario?
Yo, what's up, my guy?
Oh man, I'm just cooling, man. I'm just listening, man, soaking in some of this knowledge, you know. Out here chilling with you and relating with you, taking me down some notes as well, you know.
Okay.
I missed some of them videos you referred last week, so I had to go in and write that down.
Okay.
First, I want to say hello to all the people. I'm glad y'all are here with me as well, soaking in this knowledge, getting you a good positive vibe for the day. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, you don't even realize and you don't seem to get a positive vibe coming your way for the whole day. You know, you never took time out to, you know, just lean towards a little positivity. So, you know, hello to everybody and much love. Now, let's get on this topic you done brought up, this here abusive relationship.
All right.
So what you're saying is why do people decide to stay in abusive relationships, right?
Yeah, any form. Any form that you want to take it, whether it's mental,
okay,
whether it's physical, whether it's verbal, why?
Okay. I think, and this is just generally everybody, I think, you know, it's a lot of things you could take into affair. You know, first, the good point you made about is, do we actually know how to love? You know, do we actually know, you know, do we have knowledge on making a lasting relationship? Because a lot of these times, you know, when you in an abusive relationship, I feel like maybe the abuse, you know, doesn't come both ways, you know.
Right.
You know, most times in a relationship, you kind of mirror, you know, what you got going on. You know, so if that makes any sense, you know, it's almost like a mirror, like you putting out, you getting back exactly what you putting out. You know what I'm saying? So I know a lot of times we get into these relationships and we don't actually realize how much somebody actually loves you. And you tend to take them for granted on certain things, and you know they come out as being very aggressive to you, and you still chasing somebody else, or you chasing anything else, so you're not realizing that, you know, they're trying to show you that they could feel that you're not all the way in it, you know.
Yeah.
I think you know, sometimes people are afraid to leave because mainly it comes from insecurity. You know, and we all have them. I'm not saying that I don't have insecurities. We all have insecurities.
That's a true statement right there, man. And that's a statement that everybody has to admit, that everybody have insecurities.
And you have to find comfort in your insecurities and recognize it and conquer it. You know, and that's really the only way you can move forward from it. You know, a lot of times, and I've been there, you know, and that's why I can speak on that, you know, to where you say abusive relationship, you know, and it comes from all aspects, you know, whether, you know, you could take abuse from all kind of different ways, you know, and you're afraid to leave that. You think you feeling that being in that situation makes you more insecure, you know, so you'll be afraid to leave, you'll be afraid to branch out, you know, and that's almost like putting handcuffs on yourself, you know, stopping yourself from, you know, moving on, you know. But as a people, you know, I got to bring it back to the people. As a people,
amen,
you know, we haven't been taught to love. You know, we have not been really taught real love. So a lot of times our love comes out abusive. I'm saying whether it be verbal, physical, financial, sexual, you know, as a people, we haven't learned to love. My uncles and aunts, I have a big family, you know, and, you know, on one hand, I can't fill up one hand with uncles and aunts that stayed together. And as I grew up and, you know, I began to raise my family, you know, I started to lean on who I knew that stuck it through, you know. And let me tell you, over them years growing up, seeing those relationships, a lot of times they were abusive, physical, mental, financial, sexual. You know, it had an abusive aspect, but they were strong enough to keep it together, you know, because we all make mistakes. You know, we all not God. We all make mistakes. We all will pass over. We will all give abuse as well as take abuse and accept it both ways, you know. That's what I really, that was my really point on that topic, you know. I wasn't able to give a shout-out last week, but I definitely want to give a shout-out to the brother that's hollering about church reform. You know, that letter that he wrote, you know, honestly, I'm down here in Jacksonville, Florida. You know, if he was to fax that to me, I would definitely be ready to stand beside that and study towards something on that aspect. So I'm definitely feeling well on that. You know, I've been sitting back trying to gain my knowledge, and I've been trying to figure out what I can come up with as a plan, you know, because we need a plan, people. We know what we need to do, you know. But now we need a plan, and we need somebody that's got the plan together, and we need them to influence us into throwing out that plan. You know, we know what's wrong, you know. Church reform. Shout out to bro on church reform. You know. He threw me a little left field on the reparations, but you know, he been hollering about an episode for that, so I'm gonna hold mine on that, you know, too, until we get to that, you know. So shout out to everybody, you know. Much love out there. Shout out to JT. Shout out to Eddie Belafonte, you know, I be feeling, bro, out there. And shout out to you, bro. And I appreciate the knowledge you throw my way.
Always, that's why I'm here, bro. Yeah. Shout out to my guy right there, man. Hey, T, you said that church reform, so you got something smoking right there. Shout out to my boy Eddie Belafonte. You know, you know Eddie Belafonte International. You know, he tried to break my brother with that little picture or whatnot, but he built for it tough. So you really can't do much to it. Shout out to my boy, man. Shout out to Jay. I don't know if he is, but if he is, shout out to my boy Jay. It's definitely love on here when we can share the knowledge. But like my boy say, let's get a plan going. But more importantly, what he said dealing with that relationship was he grew up singing a lot. That's something that I spoke about. So a lot of us grew up seeing healthy relationships or what we thought was healthy relationships. We are taught just stick it through. You know, just stick it through. You know, I ain't perfect. She not perfect. Yeah, just stick it through and it'll get better. Oh, you have to work at making it better. You have to really work hard about, you know, on making it better. It's not just going to improve itself. So I definitely, you know, feel that, and that's how we keep it going because we see, okay, we see all of our uncles or we see all of our cousins and, you know, this is what we grow up seeing, you know, abused women. You know, we're going to feel like that's how you raise up, you know, she talking wrong, you raise up, you know, with the hand and smack her, and it all have been taught. So, you know, I definitely taught that, so definitely shout out to my guy. Oh, we're going to keep it going, we're going to keep it going, we're going to keep it going.
What's up, National Spokesman?
Yo, what's up, brother?
Doing good. First, I want to say shout out to the Black Panthers for Justice. Shout out to Ms. Pisces, Anonymous, all the callers, and the new ones that are just coming on now. Now, okay, when you talk about abuse, okay, you mentioned about slavery. Now, yeah, of course, you know, slavery, you know, when you had, okay, the black man with the black woman and the slave master lusting after the black woman, and he knew that, you know, the black woman is with the man. But he didn't care, of course, because his leverage back then was like, okay, I can get the black woman because she has curves. Now, knowing black women, they're known for their curves, the big breast, big booty, and, you know, tender lips. So, yeah, so that's what he was going after because of the curvation, you know, all the curves. You know, she's very curvaceous. And so the black man, of course, he definitely couldn't do nothing. And if he did, you know, fight back, his consequences is being dragged, being lynched, and, of course, you know, being put to death because he decided to fight back against the master. And so, yeah, that was just the tipping point of abuse. And, you know, with the words, you know, nigger, okay, nigger this, nigger that, you're nothing. You know, you'll never be nothing in life. You know, even to this day, you know, you got some racist, you know, white folks still saying that about us in 2016. You know, okay, we'll never be nothing. We'll never get along as a people. So from then, slavery, all that, you know, whippings and verbal abuse, that was a tipping point. Now, us as black people, there's the Ike Turner Syndrome. Now, the reason I say Ike Turner Syndrome is like, okay, first, you know, when you have a black couple, you know, it's going good the first couple of weeks and a couple of years. Then all of a sudden, the man or the woman starts to change, whether it's before the kids or after the kids, it starts to change. Okay, black man starts off with, okay, calling the woman a bitch and a slut and a hoe, then slapping her while he's calling her a bitch and a hoe and a slut and whatnot, and a thought to add on. And so that's Ike Turner Syndrome. So it starts off good, and then it starts off with the bad. And see, the problem is, you see, a lot of people have grown up seeing that, you know, seeing, you know, the moms and their dads, you know, with that, you know, Ike Turner Syndrome in them. You know, they, you know, start off good, being nice, you know, kissing and whatnot, and then all of a sudden, the words start to come out, the actual words that are not good. And so they're seeing that. And it's like, you know, they're watching a player dribbling a basketball, you know, left and right. But with their parents, they're dribbling the words left and right. You know, a bitch to the left, a hoe to the right. Then I'm going to fade away with a thot and a slut. Same thing with a woman. They're dribbling the words. Okay, deadbeat, no good, you're broke, a lame, a punk. So you just keep dribbling back and forth, you know, with the words. And now the kids growing up thinking that, okay, now that I'm an adult, I can also dribble with the words, those same exact words that they said to each other, to other people's sons and daughters and nieces and grandnieces. And see, now with the double standard, yeah, we have to cut the double standard out. I find it funny how, whether it's the Black Lives Movement, or black people in general, we say, okay, a white man's attacking us. But as soon as we're attacking each other, some of us want to make sure that we don't talk about black-on-black crime, that we shouldn't, you know, display it on the media. And, I think somebody had pointed out, I'm like, yeah, I mean, there's black-on-black crime. But, however, the media's not going to, they're not really going to talk about it. You know, they'd rather talk about white-on-black crime. But that's why it's very important to talk about these things. Talk about, you know, how we're hurting in the community, how people keep hurting each other, whether it's verbally or physically. So stop with the double standards. And if we're going to tackle racism, if we're going to have better relationships and stop the abuse, then, yeah, we can respect each other more. We can be looked at as, okay, we can get along with people. We won't have to, you know, debate with physical violence or verbal violence. So that's how we should, you know, be doing right now. For some, it takes a while. For some, they'll get it one way or another. And so now, as far as the media is concerned, yeah, I mean, with the media, we as a people, we're their science experiment. You know, they want to keep doing the numbers and the diagrams. See, to us, to them, it's like an experiment. You know, we're our own science experiment. So let's not be and continue being a science experiment and stop the Ike Turner syndrome. Get that out.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's all I got to say.
All right. Ike Turner syndrome. That was differently put. But, you know, definitely that's the theory. But I'm going to keep the lines going. I'm going to keep this slow moving. Oh, where can I go? Carl, you are on the line.
Mike, what's that?
Yo!
Oh, man. Hey, shout out to the caller that shot me out and everybody online. You hear me?
Man,
truly beautiful, man. They try to break me, but you know what I mean? I shake back, man, like good crack. You know what I'm saying?
I would guess, you know, hey.
Hey, both of you might have understood what that meant, but you know, hey, man, I'm good, man. I'm good. But, hey, man, you got a hell of a show right now, man. You know, you've been bringing it, but, you know, I like this, what you got going on, man. You delivering the message, you know what I mean, the way it's supposed to be delivered, you hear me? That boy Creflo Dollar Song serious, ain't he? You know what I mean? Pimping all over the world, huh? You know what I mean? And that butt jagger, man, whatever that was you were mentioning about, that butt jagger. Hey, man, let me ask you something. What person, you know, like Thursday to Friday, Saturday, when the week weekend come around, you know, what say, man, I'm going to get stuck tonight, man, you know what I mean? I'm going to throw a couple of them back, you know what I mean, blow one or whatever, you know what I mean? And then he say, I don't want to drink tonight, man. I think I'll take one of the ads and get drunk. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get shit-faced drunk, man. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to take one of my ads, man, and get drunk as hell. You know what I'm talking about? How they come up with that right now, man? It had to be a stupid mother, you know what I mean, to think of some shit like that. You feel me?
You know, that's my thing, though. I said, you know, what was happening? The fact that they realized that this was a good idea to do, or what was happening that you realized you should do it. Like, I don't know, you know, and I came across the article, and I don't know how true it is, but I'm sure it's going on somewhere in this world.
Man, you know, if they put it out there, they doing it. You know what I'm talking about? And they had to come up with an idea when they were stoned. They're like, man, I wonder, can I get effed up by taking some of my ass here. You know what I'm saying? They had to come up with some stupid idea like this while they was intoxicated. You know what I mean? Something was going on during that time where they felt the need to put some shit out there like this. You know what I mean?
I want to touch on that, man.
As far as, you know what I mean? As far as prayer, man, before I slide up in your topic, before prayer, man, we all pray for things, you know what I mean, what we need, what we want, and we already will bless what we need, which is life, you know what I'm saying, each and every day, you know, we have the capability to make things better than what it is, to day, you know what I'm saying? But I challenge anybody and everybody, you know what I mean, to come at the Almighty like this. You know, instead of focus on your issue, have you ever thought enough to ask him how he doing today or how his day was going? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do you ask him or do you tell him, you know what I'm talking about, Lord, have a blessed and holy day today, even though things is occurring in the world the way it's occurring. You know what I mean? Whatever evil is going on in the world today, you know what I'm saying? I know you got your work cut out for you. You know what I'm saying? Because it's stressed beyond hours. You feel? So I always have these deep conversations with God, you know what I mean? And I express to him, you know what I mean, my stresses and whatnot. You know, I try to get deep into a conversation with him as I would talk to anybody as in a physical form, you feel me? But now your topic, you know, as you know, I went through a situation with a little female, whatnot, you know, been with that chick for like 5 years, you know, and like your boy can normally say, you know what I mean, that it starts out good or whatever, you know what I mean, for the past year or two, maybe 3 years, you know, everything seemed to be cool or whatever, you know what I'm saying, and things start slowly revealing itself, you know what I mean, and I'm like, after I dropped my guard to when I first went in the relationship, actually, I didn't choose to be in a relationship. And I know this is about relationships that I have been in. I never initiated saying that we was a couple. I never say, hey, you're going to be my girlfriend. Can you be my girlfriend? I never was the type of person to chase a female. You know what I'm saying? I grew up around amongst a lot of females. You know what I'm saying? And, I raised by my mother and my sister. You know, my father, he was in the house. But, you know, mainly a woman had raised me. So, you know, I was always infatuated with, you know, like the beautiful women, nice curves, whatever. You know what I mean? So, I see over the years, you know, I hear him talking about men or whatever. You know what I mean? And then growing up, you know, trying to pursue a woman. Then they like the guys who kind of like instead of dishing that cool, nonchalant, laid back type of vibe or whatever, really ain't paying no attention and stuff like that. They tend to cling to these type of people than the ones who keep on trying to get at them, whatever like that. So the dudes who always appear to be cool and laid back, they attract to those guys. And then when I heard TLC talking about, I don't want no scrub, a scrub. I'm like, that right there doesn't apply to me. So I'm trying to stay out the weak lane, you know what I'm talking about? And then I see Destiny Child talking about some bugaboo. So I'm like, are you serious? And this really going on in a female head, man. You know what I'm talking about? And I hear guys begging and pleading the woman to stay. Hey, man, you want to go, man? I'm not handcuffing you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the type of dude, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, I don't know how to put this. Well, you got the insecurity with yourself, well, huh?
But see, that's the thing where I'm talking. Okay, you just gave some good examples. But that's the thing that I'm talking when I say, okay, like you say, okay, TLC come out with the no scrubs. And then you say, okay, well, Destiny Child come out with the bugaboo. So that shift and the way that they thought about each other, because, okay, you know, we grew up in an era where you had stuff like Boys to Men, where they actually romanced a woman, and they didn't make it seem so bad, you know, on bending, you know, loving a woman or expressing feelings wasn't considered punkish. But, you know, then, music changed the mind of the people, you know, that started to look at as a weak emotion. Oh, you showing love, and then that kind of like desensitized the man to truly loving a woman, and then that desensitized the woman to even appreciating and understanding a good man. Now, sometimes some dudes, because I can admit that before I was a bugaboo, so you know, you can re- can really understand and be honest with that, you know, with that in yourself. So I said, okay, you can, you do understand that those type of people exist, but you know, it's like, do they even do? Are you being a bugaboo, or are you actually just interested and you like this woman? But the woman has been shown a good man, you know, a good man that will romance from a good woman that say, you know, I think the world loves you. You know, because one of my favorite songs, and I played it on the show before, was All I Do Is Think of You by True. And that song,
yeah,
right,
like
now,
it, yeah,
you know, it put great ideas in your head. But they desensitized us through their music, and they kind of tainted the whole way a relationship was looked at.
Right. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, of course, you know, me and your partner, Chill, you know what I mean? And she would tell you, like, well, I chase her out, you know what I'm saying? I open the door for her, you know what I mean? I treat her like she is my lady for the night, you know what I'm saying? So what I do is I make sure she's straight, you know what I'm saying? I open the door for her, you know what I mean? I let her order what it is that she want to order. And there's been times that we have went out, you know, we all kicking at the Gold Rush, just, you know, popping a little flavor or whatnot. And she cut the steak up, and she feeds it to me in front of everybody. So everybody like, what the f*** going on? You know what I'm talking about? You know, and
right,
then, you know, along with other women that I have taken out, you know what I'm saying, I treat them as my woman. You know, there's never any degrading thing going on. And, you know,
right,
for
the
young lady that I have dealt with, you know what I'm saying, she didn't get the chance to see that side of me because she was steady showing me a side of her that I wasn't, you know, interested in, you know what I mean? So, but I treated her as in I actually loved her. I put myself on front street, you know what I mean, going up against family or friends or whatever, taking a beating until I said, nah, no more, you know what I'm saying? Because that ain't even in my character to be dealing with something like this. You know what I'm saying? I'm way better than that, you know what I'm saying? But that experience caused me to create a strict boundaries within myself, you know what I'm saying? If you don't learn from your mistake, you definitely never think it again, you know what I'm saying? But for the woman, you know, I give every woman a chance to prove themselves or who they are, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't like being abused, and neither do I want to abuse a female, you know what I'm saying? I treat you how you want to be treated, so but if I got to treat you bad, you know what I'm saying? I really ain't trying to be standing on a situation like that. You know what I'm saying? Because that's taken away from me, and it's taken away from you.
Yeah.
That person deserves good, and I deserve great. You know what I'm saying? So, and another thing is this too. A female got to understand this too. And I encourage anybody to take this down. I would never like you more than I like me. You know what I'm saying? I would never love you more than I like me because I am number one. Now, I can come to say this, too. I can love you as equal as me, you know what I'm saying? And that's double standard, you know what I mean? Because once you find a good woman, you find a good thing, you know what I'm saying? So when both come together, y'all is considered one. You know what I'm saying? You love her as you love yourself. But till a woman showed me that she is capable of me loving her like that, because all the women I have dealt with, they'll love you for a season. And then once the old serpent get in their ear, start talking that foolishness, and they get sidetracked and blinded by the bullshit they talking, and then there they go and get played in the event. You know what I'm saying? Stole the water as always. You know what I'm saying? You know, but as far as abusive, man, that abusive thing ain't never cool, man. I ain't never been with that. I'm better than that. And everybody else online, you all better than that. If y'all going through an abusive relationship or whatever, or you doing the abusing, you know what I mean? You need to step back and reevaluate your way of thinking. You know what I'm talking about? And, hey, man, I'm out, man. Hey, good show, man. Shout out to everybody online. You hear me?
Later. Shout out to that boy, Eddie Belafonte. He cool as the other side of the pillow, that guy, Stuart Scott, you say. And he said he's been, you know, he went to Gold Rush and he got fair space. that's a great guy. He is just great and cool and charismatic in person. He's not fronting with who he is. You know, he's a straight-up cat. And I got love for my brother. That is my brother from another. And he always, you know, people on the show love it. So shout out to my boy Eddie B, man. You know, he makes the show, he gives the show flavor. Oh, man, but, you know, he brought up a good topic, and I'm going to keep scrolling, but he brought up a good point, you know, as far as that. And that's the comparison that I use a lot with how the music shaped their minds, because I found an interesting article today, and it was saying Dr. Boyce Watkins, you know, he was, you know, it was about Future, and it was saying that, Future was saying that he only talks about drugs because it's the hot thing to talk about. It's catchy. So, and first of all, I don't believe this because the dude just talks about too much not to even engage or indulge in it. But I say that to say the fact of, look at the message that he's putting out. I mean, and we remember the show before last when I compared him to my boy B.O.B., who really putting out the fire, you know. But, you know, with the lyrics, with the music, if music is turning us into emotionless, heartless drug heads, and it's all through to what we take in our spirit, so we have to really be careful. And like I'm saying, it ain't just always physical. We can mentally abuse ourselves. We can verbally be abused. Oh, you ain't nothing. Shut up. Ow. Slap your side of the head. Damn. You know, but, you know, that thing goes so many different ways. There's so many different ways you can take that. But I'm going to keep going because I see the lines, and I'm going to get to you. Caller, you are on the line. 0039. Hey, maybe we just got a listener. We probably do. Okay. Caller, you are on the line. 1892. Hello. Okay. We're getting at the now. Pick up the phone, people. Don't be shy. Okay. Oh, well. Oh, where can I go? Because I start talking again. You know how I do. Carly, you are on the line.
Hey, what's up, Antaria? Y'all doing all right?
Yo, T, what's up, man?
Yeah, ain't nothing too much. Got the good one going on again, ain't you? Yeah, them abusive relationships. But you know what, Ontario? You pretty much asked the question, then answered it too. It all started off with slavery, for the most part. You know, you got the white man disrespecting the black sister, and the sister look at it like, damn, my man won't even come in here and do nothing. But she, in the back of her mind, she know he can't do nothing, but in her heart, you ain't there for me. So what kind of man are you? And then the brother out there saying, damn, I know she liked that shit. Oh, she in there eating with him, drinking with him. She finna give him some. She don't like it, but, you know. And then if he do stand up and say something, you know, he gonna get shot, killed. I think one of the movies, what was it, 12 Years a Slave, started off like that, I think.
Yeah.
That mean right there, just in itself, pretty much summed it up. Well, how that go? And then, like, for the white people, because, you know, we talk about slavery. You always look at it from a black perspective and what it did to us. But it's the same thing for the white. The only person that don't get abused in no kind of way is the white man. He's the only one that get away. The white woman, she get the same abuse we get because the white man is the one that give it out. He's the one that do all the abusing. He's the only one that gets away with it. But, man, one thing about it, the only, like, me, you know, me personally, you know, I ain't gonna lie to you. I have a tough time with relationships. I treat people well, but I have a tough time with relationships. I really don't know why. I really don't worry about it too much because I done accepted my own personality, and I don't really advocate for a lot of people to be like me because I kind of live the single life, but I realize that the family structure is important to our survival. So it's very important, you know, to have it. Yeah. Yeah, if it wasn't for that realization.
And see, that's the thing, T, that we don't understand, that we are killing the black family, because, right, like I said, I look at it as a whole, as a family, but we talk, black, because this is what we're around 98% of the time. So we're destroying it and not really. And see, also, that's that question that I pose again, T. Did we ever learn properly how to love?
Nope. And maybe love ain't the question. Maybe it's respect.
Okay.
Because love is so intangible. And right now, it's really been so watered down and thrown around and passed out that, you really need a new word to describe the feeling that that we all call love. You need that feeling. It's a real feeling. It ain't fake, but it's just the fact that people can make their mouth say anything, and they will. They'll love you to death, and shoot. But respect is a little bit more clear. It ain't even crystal clear, but it's a little bit more clear. And we really haven't been taught how to love for multiple different reasons, especially as black people. But we can make some attempts to get it back, but like I was saying, the biggest thing we got to realize is that it's got to start with the kids. And so, for mothers who are pregnant and raising their kids, to have argumental discussions, whether it's on the phone with your friends or right there in front of your face with your male counterpart, you got to keep that stuff private. Everybody going to go through things.
Yeah.
But you can't see them.
Man, that's true.
Yeah, you can't let them small kids see how you handle grown-up issues. And I mean, that's something as small as you're on the phone with a bill collector and you don't like what the bill collector is saying, so you decide to cut the bill collector out. See? So you can show that child how to conduct business. And that's going to lead to other ramifications. And hey, man, listen, I tell you what, when you turn it around, it really goes back to the church. They've been our guiding force.
Yeah.
I just can't step away from it. I know we all got individual responsibilities, but we also all have mentors and people that we look up to and things of that nature. And since we can't really look, feel, touch, or see the Creator, who is who we all need to aspire to be like, but we need something tangible, the church is supposed to have been that, which brings us to people like Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, Eddie Long. I can go on down the list. I don't even.
And we have a long list.
Man, a long list. It's hard for me to figure out if there are some honest pastors. Because they all preach the same thing, the same way. So how did you discern one honest from the other when you have so many that have been proven to be dishonest? Because like you say, man, anybody that know anything about Old National Highway, it's always been a cesspool, and Creflo Dollar been out there for about the last 20, 25 years, and they ain't been getting. I remember when people used to move to Old National because it was nice. That was about 20, 25 years
ago
when Creflo moved out there. And ever since then, it's been going down. Old National Highway, just like Stewart Avenue and Candler Road. It ain't no difference. It's a cesspool. And it don't make no sense. And then now he talking about he want the street. He want $65 million airplane. And like he said, telling the people that he prayed to a God that want him to have these things. And we all do. That's why that religion is so tricky. And people always say, my pastor. Well, my pastor and my pastor. Listen, one thing that stay consistent, Ontario, when I go to these churches and visit, the church is nice. And the surrounding area is not. And it's a shame. And I'm telling you, stay consistent. The church be a nice-looking church, but the surrounding area, the home, and the people, they not so nice. Shoot, only reason Old National still looked kind of nice because it was a nice place. Careful ain't did nothing. What pastor really does do stuff for the people? You know, they feed the homeless. How long are you going to keep doing that before you teach the homeless how to feed themselves? And
right.
Where you getting the food from? All of them always getting the food from somebody that gave it to them. So you a redistributor. You really ain't did a thing. You know, and then you come and pat yourself on the back. Then up in the church, you want to talk about the love in the church? They always got this sister arguing with that sister, this man messing with this woman husband, and all that. It's out of control. And the best way for us to get it back, and I think, you know, one of your callers was saying he was a little thrown by the reparations thing, but the reparations thing is really quite simple, because America wouldn't be the number one economic powerhouse that it is without the free labor and minds of the black people. That's what catapulted America into the capitalist number one spot that they're in right now. So we already did the work. Why shouldn't we be owed the money? Then, like I always say, all the plans that we got, all the dreams that we have, if we don't have enough money to implement them, and not just implement them free and unabated. See, that's what people think, that you just going to implement it and ain't nobody going to get in your way. Oh, no. As soon as you start putting your money out there and laying these plans out, the Koch brothers and Lehman Brothers now and Chuck Schumer, and if anybody know about all them boys, and they, the millions of dollars that they throw around to destroy stuff, see, they going to fight your money with their money, and then you're going to end up thinking you just failed out of the blue. But that ain't the case. So we need reparations, and the money they fighting against you with, you know where they got that money from? Rooted in slavery. You know, AIG and all them banks, most of them started off as insurance companies, man, and they would insure the slaves for the slave owners. So can you imagine a slave being insured by a slave owner? So no matter what the slave owner did to him, if he died, the slave owner got paid an insurance policy. Almost all the banks, big banks, started off as insurers, and that's how they made they millions of dollars. So the thing, and I'm going to get back on track, but the way I try to respect women that I deal with, I treat each woman like I would treat one of my best male friends, and that works very well for me. And I'm going to tell you how it dawned on me. I was looking at a commercial one day, and it was a white commercial, and the white girl came home, and an old man was laying on the sofa, acting like he was tired. And she said, "Baby, would you like to go out and get something to eat?" And he said, "No, baby, I'm tired." And then 2 seconds later, his friends called up and said, "Hey, man, you want to go drink a couple of beers?" He said, "Hell yeah. I'll meet y'all then, you know, in a couple of minutes." So being tired and all of that is a state of mind. So when you driving home and your old lady asks you, "Baby, will you stop by the store and get me some milk?" Think about, would you do it for your best partner? Now, if you wouldn't do it for your best partner, don't do it for her neither. But please don't be out there doing stuff for your best partner. And I know, men, if you think about yourself, you know you do it all the time. You will shit on that woman who give you all the good loving and good feeling in the world.
Right.
You will shit on her. And as soon as that nigga call you and ask you to do something, including help him fight another fight that ain't your fight, you will go do it and end up in jail when you should have been with the woman, should have went and got the milk, or whatever she told you to get, took your ass home, and you wouldn't even been in no trouble. See? And I've learned the hard way. See, for y'all that don't know, I ain't old, but I'm 48 years old, and I done lived real fast. I learned the hard way, but I learned quick, too. Do for your lady like you would do for your best partner. Look at her like a friend. I look at love and relationships in two ways. As a friendship and a business relationship. Our friendship keeps us laughing and playing with each other, and our business relationship keep them bills paid. I don't know where the love come in. I don't really deal with love. I really don't. Friendship,
see,
business.
See, you got to
friendship
have that element.
Keep us laughing.
You got to have that element, T. You
I don't
have
know.
To have that. You have
I,
to
what
have
part
that.
Does it, what part does it play?
I mean, it has to play. To me, the love comes first because what attracts you to them? You know, so when we're thinking, because I always like to say, okay, let's turn this thing.
Love and attraction are not the same. You're attracted to a person
just,
even before you know anything about
them. Are we just attracted to the person, or are you in love? Are you infatuated with them? But that goes back to, like I said, do we really know what love is? Do we know how
to love? What part does love play, though?
Love
what keeps you happy? Because I done seen plenty of people in love completely unhappy.
You know, and my interpretation on that, okay, we break it down to you. To me, love is going to bring you home, like you just said. When instead of going out with your homie, kicking it and with a whole lot of shenanigans, no, you're going to think love will allow you to put, you know, yourself. You got to be kind of selfish, but you got to be selfless. You know, love will make you think about somebody besides yourself. You know,
maybe it's because
you
done killed that word, love.
Yeah, and see, that's what it is, see. They have demolished the word because that's one of the most strongest elements. We always say fear and hate, but it takes communication and it takes love to stop a war. Hey, man, we can't do this no more. We got to have love for a fellow man.
I think you leaving out mutual respect. I think love has very little to do with it.
Well, see,
I
all
really
of those
do.
Go into it. Because if I love you, I got to have respect for you. You know,
oh,
I, have,
really?
You know I have to have,
do
I have,
you,
to have
do,
some
do you really?
Form of love. I have to have some
do really?
Form of respect. Yeah, you know, you
very
have to
little.
Have love for your fellow man. So it's like I said, it's
very.
Different forms of relationship. You know, you got to even have no relationship with yourself. You know, you have to have love for yourself. So that's where we
respect
have to redefine and bring back
you gotta
that
You
got to
have
word.
Respect for yourself.
You have to have respect for yourself.
I don't know if love
you know,
is the real. I don't know if love is the real thing we be dealing with here, Ontario. Love is a heart-driven emotion, and the heart don't do the thinking. The head do the thinking. Respect is coming
like
from
I
the
said,
head.
Like I said, also like I said, you have you know they have desensitized us. They make you not even think about love. They make you say, oh, that's just an emotion. They have turned us emotionally through this slave, through this willing lynch. They have turned us into robots.
In a way, that's true, but in a way, we think that love is everything, that love can conquer all. Now, lately, you're right. We done turned it around. You know, like you said, some of the songs, you know, we don't love them hoes. And boy, I tell you.
Yeah. So when we think about that, It diminished the value of that word, and it diminished that feeling, and it diminished a whole lot as to how we even think about one another. So it was killed. So really, we don't even really understand what it is. But you have to have love for a fellow man to get out there and help that brother fight. You got to have love for a sister to say, nah, bro, I ain't going to mess with that sister because I got a good thing at home. I love my lady. Now, she's fine, but I love my lady. So that comes with that mutual
What about I respect my lady?
There it is. Okay,
why is not respect more tangible and more, I liken it to prayer. I liken it to prayer and works. Prayer
okay.
is good,
okay.
but you can't show that it makes you feel better. It
okay.
until you really, like you want to pray for the people in the morning, but they don't really need prayer. They need help. I mean, Detroit, Michigan, they need tangible help. I mean, be honest with yourself. Do you really think your prayers are going to deliver? You can say that your prayers help deliver the water, but you know in your heart of hearts that that's not true. So love and respect are these two the same thing. That's
but
the prayer
you know,
and the work.
You know, to kind of tap on that, T. Okay, with the prayers, yes, those prayers are important. But And see, where we forget, we get so caught up in just the prayer. That's just a piece of the puzzle. So after you pray, you got to get up off them knees and deliver that water, because that prayer ain't
so no what was the prayer for? Was
so
the prayer for you,
prayer was,
to inspire you?
That prayer was just
so.
we have lost our way spiritual. So that's the way
and
to
see,
talk
and,
to
and
your
it's also
power.
It's also a difference between praying to the Creator and thanking Him. Prayers, when people pray, they always ask for something.
Okay.
Dear Lord,
like,
bless,
now that goes
bless
back to,
you.
Now that goes back
bless
to my
Johnny.
Boy, what he say? You know, simply say thank you. Because some mornings I may get up and I say, you know what, I don't even want to ask for nothing. I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, and you don't really say that in a prayer. You just say thank you, Lord.
Yeah. But see, we have
every time you enter into a prayer, and even that same person that said, what about thank you? They still asking the Lord to bless other people.
Yeah.
They asking for stuff.
Yeah.
He already know what you want. He already know what you need. Thank Him. Thank Him. But don't pray to Him unless you want to inspire yourself, which is fine.
Yeah, it is.
I pray too for strength, for inspiration. But I know damn pretty much for sure that my prayer ain't going to put no money in an interior pocket. It ain't going to change that lead poisoning in Flint, Michigan. If prayer was that strong, it never would have been the lead poisoning. And we wouldn't have been in slavery for 400 years if prayer was that strong. It takes work. Prayer is for inspiration. We've been fooled about prayer.
But see, and there it is. Because, see, this is like I said, when I tapped on that, and we almost out of time. But when I tapped on that the other night, I said, we can't be so desensitized to where we are dealing with top-notch devils. So when we know these devils, they are in their book. They are doing their satanic rituals. They are in their stuff because we doubt. They have beat us into doubt. They have beat us into submission. So, yeah, the prayers help because a lot of the prayers have got me to where I was. But guess what? With those prayers, I had to get up and have action behind it. I couldn't just sit there, oh, God, please help me, send me this and send me that. I had to get up off my behind, and faith without work, like I say, it's dead. You know, prayer without that work, you just talking.
Yeah.
You just saying stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to balance it, T. Yeah.
But we got to love our sisters. And you know, like Eddie. Eddie got away, and I know he's cool and stuff, but he will validate anything he do. Taking his sister to what you call it? Whatever the club was. Now, that's okay, but I know you know for yourself that's not okay. That's not one of them things that we need to be accepted as a society. But see, some of us, we grapple with downplaying ourselves and pulling out our own problems. Like I told you at the beginning of the show, I'm not good with women. I'm comfortable with my position on different things. We can't continue to, every time it comes to something that we love, we sugarcoat it and spin it to a way where it's okay. But the other guy, he doing it wrong, but I'm doing it right. See, so
I'm accountability.
Be careful about that. It's somewhat accountability.
Yeah.
Halfway
that's what we
got to
take.
You sugarcoating it, though. I took my lady, to, you know, over there, and we had the steak, but y'all was at a strip club. Now, if you really want to accept that totally as being your personality, that's cool. But I think we know when we're talking about love and relationships and family, that's not a family-oriented event. You can't sugarcoat it like that, like you still good, you know, with what you're doing, but then you kind of demonize other people. You demonize Creflo Dollar for wanting a street named his name. But you do your thing too.
Okay.
But don't sugarcoat what you do. Say I know I shouldn't have been there, but I was, so that's what I do. You know, I'm not saying don't go. I'm saying don't sugarcoat yours and make it seem like it's better than the next man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. And we are both on time. I appreciate.
Okay,
I
my brother.
Appreciate that dialogue, T.
All right, Ontario. Y'all take care. Shout out to the listening audience. Y'all be strong.
Shout out to my boy Tim, man. I mean, and see, that's what I like to see. And this is a real show. So we can't always say, you know, it's agreeing. But like I say, when I talk about this spirituality, when we talk about Bohemian Grove, when we talk about all of these secrets, when we talk about the top level of the Masonic pyramid, you have to accept that Luciferian agenda. So then when their ritual is more so like prayer. So, yeah, he's right. You know, those prayers, they kind of get you motivated. But see, I am a person that knows firsthand from, okay, it's many things. Because along with those prayers, what are you giving up? What are you giving up for God? Okay, we pray, but we want to continue. We say, God, order my steps. But them feet ain't moving. You ain't stepping nowhere. So sometimes we have to know if we're talking to ourselves in circles or if we say, hey, God, send me, and how I even came upon my great, you know, my good woman when I had with a good relationship. I said, okay, this is where my spiritual man woke up. Because we got to keep that spirit man, that spirit woman alive. Okay, when my spirit man woke up, I said, okay, I'm going to pray. I had never done that. I had kicked religion to the side, but I had that spirituality. So as I began to fast, I went on a 30-day fast, no meat. And at the beginning of this fast, I asked the Most High, reveal to me, show me a woman, show me my woman. And I went through this. Needless to say, God rewards your efforts. The Most High rewards your efforts because I fell 2 days short of this 30-day fast. And lo and behold, shortly after, I meet a beautiful woman. Woman has still been my good friend, my best friend, till right now. So we have to learn to, you know, it's okay, you know, we can't lose our way in this spiritual game because we're dealing with devils. Like we said, when we talk about them slave masters, what were they behind that flesh? You know, so as they were making the Bible, yeah, they were corrupting us. So that's why I tell the conscious community, hey, just because we found out with the Council of Nicaea and we found out what Constantine did and how they discredited Arius, we can't abandon spiritual principles. Because in ancient Kemet, we were spiritual people. You know, we had wisdom. We had everything, but they stripped it. They took everything from us. And they began to show us how our relationship go. No, you will not love the woman. You know, so we have to reevaluate and say, like my brother said, he had trouble with women. So how we have to do, once again, accountability. I wonder why. How did I have trouble? Did I put my all in it? And a lot of people say, well, you never put your all in a relationship. Well, you put your all when you're in that bed. You put your all when you're financially investing. So we can put all of these fleshly things, but what spiritually? What selflessness can we give up? We can all be selfish and say, well, I ain't going to love her. Well, I ain't going to love him. How many times do you tell that special woman, hey, I love you? How many times do you tell that special man, I love you for no reason? And we got to have the respect. Respect for your king without respect for your queen, you have no love. Barack Obama loves not the people. He loved them vote. He loved hanging in man country. And we know what man's country is. And if you don't know, I suggest you research it. And they say, hey, how you know? How you know Barack Obama been playing gay peekaboo? Maybe he loved the homosexual community more than he loved his own black people or so-called his black people. But in order to really stop this carnage, in order to stop this chaos, in order to stop this police brutality, you got to have love in your heart. But there is none with a demon. You can't reason to say, hey, demon, I love you, because that demon don't respect that. So what we have to do, we can't conform and act like the demon. We have to continue just to be us. We have to continue to be us. You know, we have to continue to really show love. Love can't, they can't, we can't be defeated. We have to really show it. Hug your person. You know, how do we love our kids? You know, where did we learn to put conditions on love? And I'm almost out this thing. But where did we learn to love our kids? How are we going to teach our kids? What are we going to teach our young sons? What are we going to teach our daughters? We have to teach them respect. See, all of these things are pieces to what make us great human beings. We must first respect ourselves before we can even respect anybody. And the same thing with the revolution. We must learn to unite as blacks before we can even think about integrating. If we can't do these things amongst each other, it's a wrap with the world. And that's what they know, because they contaminated by showing you future videos degrading women, by teaching the women to degrade themselves. Love covers a multitude of flaws, people. So maybe we should get some of that out and get some more love in our heart. And until next first Tuesday, what day it is, Tuesday, guess what? You don't know? I'm out. Peace. Shout out to all my people. Shout out to my boy Tim. Shout out to my boy Annabella Fuente. Shout out to Jamie Pisces. I know you are somewhere, you know, doing something. Shout out to my boy Kevin. Shout out to everybody that called and listened and gave their opinion. Shout out to Kazumba and the Devils. So you know how we get down on this show. Until next week, believe it, I will be back. And I'm going to let my boy Malcolm take us out and tell us something. Where's my boy Malcolm?
No Negro leaders have fought for civil rights.
What do you mean
they
by
have
fought?
Begged for civil rights. They have begged the white man for civil rights. They have begged the white man for freedom. And every time, anytime you beg another man to set you free, you will never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourselves. And until the American Negro lets the white man know that we are really, really ready and willing to pay the price that is necessary for freedom, our people will always be walking around here second-class citizens, or what you call 20th century slaves.
What price are you talking about, sir?
The price of freedom is death.